Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Yeah, I hope you have a great day. Everybody treat you right, whatever that means. If you know, let me know, so I do it too. All right, let's begin by entering into prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here today. We thank you, Father, that even though you looked at us and we were full of sin and we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in that situation was when you decided to send Jesus Christ to be our deliverer and savior and redeem us at the cross. And we just want to once again thank you and express our gratitude to him and to you. We know also, Father, that he's risen. He's at your right hand now. He's the head of the church at your right hand. We thank you, Father, that you've given us everything that we would never need for any situation that we face in life. And we just know that we're here today in order to learn more about that so that we can have more and more confidence as we get to know our Savior Jesus Christ better and better. We also pray this morning for the needs of the saints, Father, both members of this congregation around the country and all around the world too. We put it all in your hands and we pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit. Amen.
Please stand and join us for song service.
That was awesome. All right, good morning again, everybody. Just a couple of announcements, and we'll then begin the teaching portion of our worship service this morning. Every month, we feature a missionary organization. We want to keep you informed and thinking about this all the time. This month, we are featuring Christ Saves Ministries, and that's their website, www.christsavesministries.org. Once again, as we saw last week, they're an evangelistic organization. They spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, and also trains pastors and evangelists in the Word of God. They work in 5 different countries. It's going to take me 5 times to hit this. There it is. They work in 5 different countries: Pakistan, India, Nigeria, Ghana, and Liberia. Pakistan, India, Nigeria, Ghana, and Libya. Liberia, rather. Did I say Libya? Ooh, maybe that's a prophecy. No, I don't think they're going to Libya anytime soon. Here's Evangelist Kingsley. I want to talk about just for a second. Scott Grandy on the right there, and Blair Buscelli. I was on our trip to Nigeria a few years back, and I put the slide up again today because I found out this week that Pastor Kingsley will be going on a missionary trip to Liberia, not Libya, Liberia this October. So please keep that in prayer. If that's something you'd like to become more involved in, get on the website of Christ Saves Ministries, or even email Scott. This is his email address. It's just Scott at that same address, ChristSavesMinistries.org. He also has a monthly newsletter, updates on the ministry work. It's, you know, one thing that newsletter and those like it do is just keeps the subject of missionary work close to us to say, oh yeah, there's a whole world out there. There's things going on. There's people that need to hear the gospel. When you get things like that on a regular basis, it keeps you focused on that work. And maybe at some point, the Lord will give you a nudge to be more active in some way, whether it be praying, giving financially, or actually doing something practical to help one of these missionary organizations like Christ Saves Ministries. All right, one other thing this morning I want to let everybody know about is that we're planning a vacation Bible school this summer. It's going to be July 11th to the 15th. July. I keep saying that like that's a long way off, but now that we're in May, that is just not that far away. It's only really what? May 15th, it's like less than 2 months away, so we have work to do, but also please keep that in prayer. Again, July 11th to the 15th, Vacation Bible School. Half day, really, 3 hours, 9 a.m. to noon. 9 a.m. to noon. The ages of the young people will be 5 to 11. Please keep this in prayer. Right now, what we're starting to do is get the word out, so please help us with that. If you know any young people between the ages of 5 to 11, please encourage their parents to send them to us for a week so that we can present the gospel, present teaching from the Word of God, and have a really good time, too. I got to say that we got a lot of our young Christians that we get together on Mondays have been putting a lot of work into this. And if you get around young people, you know that sooner or later it's going to turn to fun. All right, so I think we got fun covered. Would you say that at this point, folks? Yeah, we got fun covered pretty well, yeah. We have to do a few other things, too, but we got it covered. So we're looking forward to that very, very much. If you'd like to be a part of it, in terms of the different volunteer needs that we have, please see Mrs. Marjorie Pomeroy in the back. Hi, Margie. Yeah, there she is. Wait, stand up. because she hates it so much. She does not like attention. So there she is. Yeah, that's right. She's been doing Vacation Bible School for many years as part of the camp. So we're very blessed to have her and have her willingness to do this again this year. So thank you for that. So again, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy drone weekend for Olivia, who did really well. She did. She has a drone competition and cleaned up all the medals yesterday. So I'm hoping if I'm lucky, she'll bring them in on Monday. I'll get my picture taken with her. You know, someday that could be worth a lot of money. You know, when she's an astronaut-esque going to Mars or something. But anyway, if you need a Bible, please raise your hand at this time. We'll make sure everybody has one. And at this time, we'd like to have everybody turn to the book of Colossians. Again, chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. Colossians 3, 1. Our title today's message is His Workmanship, the Lord, and Our Walk. His Workmanship and Our Walk. We're looking again at the fact that God's Word tells us to live a balanced life, meaning taking into account both the things above, the heavenly things, where Christ is, and that's important to see that that's the grace of God coming into our life. That's primary. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God acted according to His grace. And that continues. Don't just see the grace story as leading to our salvation, our redemption. See it as your daily living, meaning that God's grace comes into your life every day. And He leads. The Holy Spirit leads. The Word of God leads and empowers and enriches. You know, and that's the big story, you know. And then we come along and we step into that. And it's really only because our Father decided that He does not want clones, robots, drones, but He wants sons and daughters, that we even have this ability to participate. But we do. It's a marvelous thing, and we should see it that way. We should no longer feel it as a burden or anything like that, but rather look at it as a great privilege, a blessing, that our Father, in addition to pouring everything into us that we need, taking care of the sin problem at the cross, pouring in His love, the Holy Spirit pours the love of God right into our hearts. Everything that we need is being poured into us. We stand justified, and every day we stand under the grace of God like this great fountain that's taking care of everything that we need. And it's only in that that He then turns to us and says, now that I've empowered you and strengthened you and given you the vision and given you absolutely everything, now you go walk. Watch how you can walk now. Watch how the Holy Spirit can make changes in you. Watch how your thinking gets renewed. Watch how your relationships with people change for the better. Watch how the Holy Spirit brings out His fruit in your life. And it's His fruit. The love of God. The joy that Jesus said we would have and never be taken from us. The peace of God which surpasses understanding. And all the rest of that fruit, it's all His. He's producing it. He's pouring it into us. But if I could put it this way, it's great stuff. He doesn't just do that so that we can read it in a book and check it off. You know, He gives us love so that we can live as people of love. He gives us joy so that we can be joyful for our own enjoyment, but also for the benefit of other people. It's, after all, joyful Christians that are the most attractive thing in this universe for people to come to Jesus Christ. You know, I was yesterday with my son in Fort Lauderdale, and with this guy too, Michael, and we had a great time. Went to the Air and Sea show thing. Oh my gosh. If you ever have a chance, go see that thing. That was amazing, right? And of course, I didn't tell Jack yesterday, but I was thinking about, as amazing as this thing called a Harrier, it's a fighter and a helicopter all in one, you know. And the thing looks alive when it's coming at you, you know. And as great as that is, I thought, man, this can't even hold a candle to what it's going to be like when Jesus Christ comes back and His sign is going to be in the heavens everywhere. You know, so you know me, that's where my mind goes. But at the end, we were walking back. And big crowds going back, you know, and that's the price you pay to go to this event, by the way. Just make it a whole day affair, all right? But anyway, and there were these street preachers. And thank God for them. But also, you know, unfortunately, I don't know what it is, but street preachers many oftentimes have this kind of almost anger or, you know, attacking thing of people. And it just doesn't work. You know how it is. We human beings are so sensitive and so arrogant that when somebody gets in our face and yells and screams at us, what happens automatically, especially the unbeliever, by the way, is they're like, get out of my face, man. What are you doing? And I say that because the fruit of the Spirit is not anger. The fruit of the Spirit is not condemnation. The fruit of the Spirit is love, right? Joy and peace. That's what the Lord is doing in us to make us attractive to the unbeliever. So that they come to us, all right? But again, getting back to where I was at, because I can drift away, especially when I walk away from the pulpit. You ever noticed that? All of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm saying stuff. What's the subject today? Who are you? What's going on? You know. But the point is that God's grace is primary, and that He's pouring this into us. But it's real, real life. If you were God, and you wanted people to be active, and walking, and influencing other people, would you rather have that be the unbeliever that's filled with the things of the flesh and anger and hatred and jealousy and resentment? Or would you rather have it be your children filled with love and joy and peace? You know the answer. But it's a challenge to us to be active. It's a challenge to us that, yes, it's His workmanship, His grace. He took care of everything. He packaged us all together and gave us everything we need. And it's our walk. And we're going to see how this works in the Scriptures. The Scriptures, the New Testament letters, are so rich in this balance between what God is doing and what we're called to do. It's amazing. And I wanted you all to see some of that this morning. So let's begin in Colossians 3:1. Therefore, since you've been raised up with Christ, heavenly things now, keep seeking those things above where Christ is. He is seated at the right hand of God as our head of the body, as the one who is... we're in union with. Set your mind on those things above. That's a command. That's something we do every day. Not on the things that are on earth. But you've died. Romans 6, you died. When Christ died, we died. To sin and to the law. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We don't think so, but it is. So much of this Christian spiritual life, when we take God's word at its word, and we allow it to do its work in us, so much of it is to get us to be aware of the fact that we've died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. That the flesh can do nothing. Jesus said, forget about the flesh. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The problem is that, you know, we don't realize the extent to which flesh has a hold on us naturally. And so much of the spiritual life, so much of the renewing of God's word, so much of the power of the Spirit in our life is to show us just how much of a grip the flesh used to have, and actually when we let it, still does have on us, and that what a remarkable, revolutionary thing it is that when we allow the Spirit and we walk by Him. And when we do this, when we realize that we have a life, but it's hidden with Christ in God, and we start to understand that and start to live there. It's a remarkable, revolutionary thing. It'll change everybody amazing ways now. When Christ, who is our life in heaven, is revealed, then you shall be revealed with Him in glory. I think sometimes in the Christian life, we have this idea that we're going to pay our dues and we're going to learn the word and we're going to let these changes happen. And then it's going to be glorious now that people are going to all recognize how great we are and we're going to feel great all the time and it's just going to be wonderful. Well, I got bad news for you. That's not going to happen here, now. Because God has reserved that for when His Son is revealed with us. And so for now, we are sitting there with nature groaning, like Romans 8 says. We're groaning, we're waiting, anticipating, but we're still in these bodies of flesh, these bodies of corruption. And we're going to be there until either we die or until the rapture happens. And so we have to learn how to live with all of that. And actually, it's really the thing we have to learn to do is to walk by means of the Spirit, that He is adequate. I'm not, you're not, He is. We have to learn what that partnership is all about. And hopefully today's message will get us a little farther down that road. All right, verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body. Again, from the heavens down to where you cannot mistake the fact that He's talking about you in your life now, because He's talking about this earthly body that still has the flesh and sin in it. But consider it anyway, even though it has flesh and sin, dead to that stuff. By the power of God, knowing what happened at the cross, consider the members of your body, your eyes, your ears. And this really means what you see, what you look at, what you hear, right? Your feet, your leg, where you go, all right? Every part of you, even the parts of you that we don't talk about, All of that is to be given as an instrument of righteousness to God. That's what Romans tells us. All of it given. Why? Because we've risen from the dead. All right? And so even though we still have these bodies of flesh that would, left to themselves, be sinning like crazy, we allow the power of God in now. We don't allow it. It's there. The Holy Spirit's in us at work. And it totally changes when we obey these commands to say, I'm not going to do this myself. Bless you. I'm going to have the power of God to consider the members of my body as dead to these things. Not because of anything good about me, but because I know what happened at the cross. I know the Holy Spirit is inside, and this can and will happen. I'm going to consider these members of my body, even your brain, by the way, as dead to immorality. Consider it that way. Now, I want to caution you. It's not that way. In other words, you know, it's not as if we make this one decision, okay, from now on, I'm going to consider the members of my body as dead to immorality. And that's it. I can go swimmingly along, and I'm never going to have a problem with immorality again. Wrong. The fact is that the reason why that this is an ongoing activity is because you're going to have an issue with immorality a lot. That's the challenge. Or maybe not, you know, whatever it is that you have an issue with in your life. All right? I had an issue with stuff when I was 18, and I still have it today. All right? Why? Because this is still in my body. And I still need a fresh dose of the Lord every day in order to keep these things at bay. And how do I do that? Faith. I consider it so. I said, my Lord said it. I know that the power of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ is greater than the tug I'm feeling right now to be immoral, to get angry, to be passionate in a bad way, to want the wrong things, think the wrong things, be greedy, all those things. They're not gone. They're still in our bodies, and we're still dealing with them. But what's changed is that we've become new creation. We've been born again. And as a part of that, we're having our mind renewed. We're going to learn. We're going to keep on learning. I have this thing I have to fill out. One of the questions was, how did you come to know the Lord? You know me. I think I'm going to answer it. Well, it started there, okay? But like Paul, you know, in Philippians 3, we're still trying to come to know him. That's a daily activity. And as we do that, you see, that's where we really get rich resources. And at the end of the day, the Lord, as much as he's come and he's dealt with all of this at the cross, but as he's done that for a reason. He's actually much more looking for us to move in a direction where the fruit of the Spirit is and where we're really taking his resources and living accordingly. See, the walk by means of the Spirit is a positive thing. And we're going to get into that. Right now we're dealing with a negative thing, which is keep the negativity at bay through my power. Consider the members of your body as dead to immorality and impurity and evil desire and passion and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Never forget in all of this work that the Spirit leads us in this. It's his power. We take every thought captive to the obedience to Christ, not the obedience to me. See, this is a challenge. You know, when you're in a situation when you're battling something, that a bad habit, an addiction, an emotion, bad decision in a certain area you've made again and again in your life. The first instinct is going to be to want to do something yourself, to somehow find something good in you to battle that. That will never work. The only thing that can deal with this is God's Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. And it's uncomfortable, but we have to learn how to be dependent on him. And to say, I'm not going to come up with the five reasons why I shouldn't do this. You know what happens? By the time I'm done with the fifth one, I've already done it. The thing I'm not supposed to do. But as soon as I say to myself, I'm no match for this, okay, which Paul says dogmatically in Romans 7, that my will and what I have naturally is no match for the flesh and for sin in my body. And therefore, I've got to turn and look at the Lord and say, okay, what are you going to do about it? What, never mind my reasons. How about what's your reason? What part of my life that you're going to open up that I've never seen before that's going to give me the power today to resist this thing I've been battling for the last 40 years? That's the life we're called to live. So it's on the basis of the Spirit leading us all the time. Him enabling the work all the time. His power striving against the flesh that's in us with its lusts. Him. On the basis of the fact that we died with Christ at the cross, but it's by means of the Holy Spirit. And again, we have to decide every day whether we're going to do this considering or not. Something about being human, we like to have things like, okay, I dealt with that, check, you know. What's that thing people have now where they have to, bucket lists, you know. Well, it was in my bucket list to realize I died with Christ, check. It was in my bucket list to consider the members of my body dead to immorality, check. Now I'm on to something else, I don't know what, you know, but I'm on to something else. No, you know, it's a daily thing. Every day, we got to decide, are we going to use the power of the Spirit, or are we going to try to do it ourselves? Are we going to do this considering that? See, because as soon as you have to consider your body as dead to these things, and you know that they're still raging inside you, that calls for a supernatural viewpoint. That calls for God, once again, to come on in. Very humbling. God's job, by the way, so often, is to humble us in the area of our flesh, which I'm telling you is a lot more pervasive than any of us really realize, all right? But to humble us in that area, again and again and again, it's almost like it's like the hot stove thing. We are so just programmed to turn to our flesh. And but let me caution you again, our flesh is not just what the world considers the bad stuff. You know, everybody understands that murder is the flesh, that lust is the flesh, that addiction is the flesh. Okay, I get that. But your desire to overcome some of those bad things, but to use what you think is good about you to do it, is also the flesh. You know what I'm saying? Coming up with trying to trick yourself to not do something. All these self-help things that are out there. You know, if you just think the right thoughts, you'll win. No, you won't. You'll lose. Why? Because it's the power of the Spirit. When are we going to get that through our thick heads? It's not the power of our memorization. It's not the power of our will. It's the power of the Spirit. And that's uncomfortable because every day we got to wake up and be humble and realize I'm dependent on Him again. Like the hot stove effect with the kid, you know. We're going to keep going to the flesh and it's going to hurt. People wonder sometimes, you know, what am I supposed to do? I see somebody in my life and they keep going to the flesh. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to wait until they're tired of getting their hand burnt. That's God's way. Is it doesn't work. It's that simple. It doesn't work. Now, Paul says it in the book of Romans. He says, aren't you guys tired of going through that again and again and again and again? How many times do you have to turn to your flesh and be frustrated and see it doesn't work and think you're almost there and you're not anywhere before you just forget it and say, you know what? It's by your power and by what you're thinking about me today, God. Not what I'm thinking or not what I thought yesterday. Or not what I wrote yesterday, or any of those things, but rather a fresh dose of the power of God every day. That's what we need. And isn't it great that we have that? I mean, let's get to the point in our lives where we look at these things about us that we don't like as perhaps the most marvelous things of all. And it's because it's right there where we need a fresh dose of God every day. In the things that are going right, we would forget about God. But in the things that are going wrong, we need Him. And so he's just parked there, you know. He's like, I know you're thinking I'm here to get rid of those things for you. He's saying, no way. He's saying, I am here to take advantage of those things in you. And every time it happens and you try to go to your own solutions and you fall on your face and you got to turn up to me, God, again and say, help, I'm happy. Now, He's not happy because you're miserable. He's happy because you're realizing the truth. We need Him. We're nothing without Him. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And whatever it is about your life that causes you to see that truth turns out to be a great thing. And because of that, it might not leave. Because you know, well, I know myself that these things about me that I can't stand, that I get frustrated, that I wish were gone, that I spend hours trying to work on. When I finally get frustrated with it and just stop and then say, okay, Lord, this is going to be a bad day, but tomorrow I know something good's going to happen. Something good happens. And He teaches me something or He shows me something about who He is. That's the way it's going to be. So we have to do it every day, realize that we need Him. We have to decide, are we going to consider the body dead to immorality or not? The Holy Spirit is at work. He's sovereign, by the way. You know, it's only so far we think, oh, I have my will. I have free will. Well, And inasmuch as the Lord has allowed you to make certain decisions, you have that. But trust me, anytime he wants to, he can roll over our will like a steamroller. All right, he did it to Pharaoh, which is probably one of the most arrogant men of all time. All right, and God just like, watch what I do to this guy. Boom, steamroll. He can do that to us too, and he does from time to time. We're really going to hurt ourselves. Sometimes he just puts that brick wall in front. Bam! He is sovereign. And God the Holy Spirit is at work in you, whether you give him permission to or not, all right? Because he is his job. God the Father said, your job is to conform that one, my child, in the image and likeness of Christ. Yes, sir. And the Spirit's going to do what he has to, whether you like it and I like it or not. He's at work. He's in residence in us. He is putting the flesh out of business so that we can live this life. But the question is, as he's doing that, as he's working on keeping the flesh at bay, like one of those dikes in Dutch land that keep the ocean from flooding the city, you know, that the Spirit is battling against the flesh. And he's doing that so we can live a great new life. The question then becomes, will we? Will we? Will we actually take advantage of what the Spirit is doing to battle the flesh, to live the life our Father wants us to live? Will we do that or not? You know, next time you're confronted with some of these things in verse 5, one of them is more than enough. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed. What are you going to do? Are you going to take advantage of the presence of the power of the Spirit and allow that to put to death the deeds of the body or not? Or instead, are you going to cook up something? Well, you know, if I cook up enough guilt, I'll bet you the power of guilt is greater than the power of immorality. I got news for you. It's not. All right? It's not. As a matter of fact, and I don't even want to tell you to check this out because it's so horrible, but you probably have had this experience yourself. What happens when we put ourselves under guilt is that we feel even worse about ourselves. And as we feel worse about ourselves, we're farther and farther away from who we really are now in Christ. And as that happens, believe me, the enemies have us right where they want us. They want to separate us from realizing who we are, children of the living God, filled with the Spirit, united with Christ, victorious. They don't want that. They want us to be on the other side thinking we've lost. It's no good. And by the way, when you think you've lost, guess what happens? Then little old immorality comes back and says, oh good, now that you tried to use guilt and you're feeling worse than ever, I'm even more powerful, aren't I? Man, that's like the only thing left is to go do something for my flesh because I've totally blown it on the righteousness side. See, our enemy is bright, smart. All right. So if you turn to your own flesh thinking you're going to solve the problem, it's going to make it worse. Just write that down in your notes. Okay, why? Because there's only one solution. The power of God, the Holy Spirit. That's it. You go through your New Testament. You look up the word flesh. Do a concordance search. And find out who loses and who wins. Your will in Romans 7 loses. The only thing that beats the flesh is the Holy Spirit. All right. So we got to turn to that. We got to say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to consider the members of my earthly body as dead because of what Christ did and the power of the Spirit in residence. Let's keep reading in Colossians 3. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. That's unbelievers. That's not you as a Christian. Because we'll notice, in them you also once walked. When you were living in them, you were living in those things. You once walked, but now, verse 8, you also, what? Put them all aside. Put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth, and do not lie to one another. These are all commands. We had to put things aside. At the cross, when we died with Christ, okay, the old man was put aside. And now, again and again and again, on the basis of that fact, where then whenever these things come into our lives, put them away. Put them away. Put them in the closet, you know? And then notice why. All right? So we're to put aside anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech from our mouth, and we're not to lie to each other. Why? Since you have laid aside the old man. It's not self. It's the old man. All right? Anthropos in the Greek. I don't know why some of the translators have used the word self so much. But it's not there. Self isn't there. Even the word self-control, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit, it's a bad word, self-control. It means that we control ourselves, which is the exact opposite of what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. All right, so that word self, be real careful about it when you see it in the Bible, all right? To me, if I were translating, which I never would, I don't think I'd use that word too much. All right? Because here, too, we're not sinners because of our sins. We're sinners because of Adam's sin. And what Christ did at the cross went all the way to the root system. It dealt with Adam. So it's our old man that was put away. All right, with its evil practices. And verse 10, and we already put on the new. Self is not in there. Get rid of self, the new man, who is being renewed. See, here's the thing. The new man, here's where the wing of Christianity that says let go and let God, when they have the new man, they forget that the new man has to be taught. They forget about that. They have the picture that the new man is just here, it's perfect, it's great, nothing has to happen. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, notice what it says, this new man, all right, that we're putting on, okay, is being renewed. Something's happening to the new man on a day in and day out basis, hopefully. According to what? Being renewed to a true knowledge. So that there is knowledge of the truth that the new man craves and needs in order to be renewed. Okay. What kind of knowledge? According to the image of the one who created him. That's when we were born again. We were created. All right? And it's according to the image of Christ. So it's particularly knowledge about who Christ is the key to renewing the new man, not the old man. The old man never gets renewed, by the way. The old man gets crucified and put away. And then the new man is here, and the new man gets taught. And the new man gets taught knowledge, the truth, about Jesus Christ. And notice, what are we talking about? It's on that basis that we're able to put aside anger. When our new man is being taught about Christ, that is how we're enabled to put aside anger and wrath and malice. And yes, that is how we're able not to lie to each other anymore. Because the new man is being taught about Jesus Christ. So we get specific commands here, once again. Earthly, heavenly. Put aside anger. Anger is real. Anger will come into your life. We're told to put it aside. How? Because our new man is being renewed to a true knowledge about Jesus Christ. That's how. We'll see how this works in a moment. We put aside slander, the things about our mouth that will hurt other people and gossip and so forth. How are we supposed to do that? Are we supposed to do that by an act of will? No. Are we supposed to do that because we'll feel guilty? No. We do that as our new man is being renewed with knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. That's what the Bible says. We're commanded not to lie to one another. If you have a problem with lying, how are you going to fix it? Are you thinking, well, I think the way I'm going to fix it is that if I get punished really bad somehow by God, then I'll stop lying. That's what we think. Or if somebody shows me a great new hypnotism program, they'll just hypnotize me and then I won't lie anymore. No. Bible says that you stop lying when the new you, the new man, is renewed with knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ. Question is, do you believe that? You know why? Because that goes totally against the grain. By the way, it goes totally against the grain of probably about 75% of what is taught in churches, if not more. In churches. If that were really true, I want you to stop and think about this. If that were really true, if God didn't have to do a work in us and have us be born again and give us a new man that is now taught in the truth, and if we just felt guilty enough or bad enough or were punished enough, well, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come. All God would have to do is, oh, great, I get it. I'll just punish them so badly, I'll get what I want. I'll get children that obey me. I'll just punish them. But that didn't work. That's called the law. That didn't work. And you never got that. Read the Old Testament. Read it from the time the law was established all the way through to the book of Malachi and ask yourself a question. Did it ever end up that the nation of Israel, which was under the law with its curses, did they ever end up as a nation for any amount of time doing things the way God told them to? And the answer, my friends, is no. And they had every possible advantage you could imagine on this side of the cross to do it. Therefore, God said, okay, I am now going to show you how it's done. I'm going to send my son. He's going to die to sin. He's going to die for the sins of the world. And he is then going to rise from the dead. And then when people believe in him, I'm going to have them renewed. They're going to be regenerated, new creation. And that new creation is going to learn the true knowledge about my son. And when that new creation has the true knowledge about my son, then they will stop lying to each other. That, by the way, that's in the Ten Commandments, right? Do not bear false witness, right? But it had to come to this. This is how God is going to get it done. Placing his spirit in us, having the new man in us, learn the truth about who Jesus is, and that will cause us to stop lying. Now again, you either want to take that on or not, but that's what God is offering you today. This is what I mean about living a new way. The next time you're confronted with some area of sin in your life, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to put yourself under a guilt trip? Or are you going to put yourself under a religious trip? Well, if I just do A, B, and C, and I feel really sorry, and I pray these prayers, then I'll stop lying to one another, or stop being angry, or stop misusing sexuality, or whatever it is. Or you're going to say, you know what this is time for? This is time for me to open my Bible and to find out more about who Christ is, and I'm going to learn more about who he is and what he did for me and who I really am now, that I'm a child of God, that I have the power of the Spirit inside of me, that God has great plans and great hopes and great promises for me. And that's what I'm going to use to deal with the sin problem in my life. Your choice, but I'm telling you, as Christians, that's the way God has set it up for us to have victory over the flesh. All right. The next time you feel the pull of your flesh, you want to get angry with somebody, they're common everyday things, you know. You want to throw an insult somebody's way, you know. You're tempted to just want something bad to happen to somebody.
Well, that never happens to me anymore. You know, I'm a Christian now. It never happens. I don't know what you're talking about. Woo!
If you hear somebody say those words, run the other way. Because they're totally out of touch with what's really going on. You know, Colossians is a lofty, elevated letter. And here, you know, Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul is saying, you got to deal with this stuff, gang. It's still there. That's what he's saying. He's talking to Christians. He's saying, this stuff is still there. The anger is still there. The malice, the slander, the tongue, the abusive speech, all that's still there. You got to deal with it. How are you going to deal with it? Okay, he's saying, here's what I'm telling you to do. I'm telling you to consider it dead on the basis of the cross. I'm telling you to take in more true knowledge about who Christ is and who you're being made to be. Because after all, you're being conformed to the image and likeness of this Christ. So when you plug into that program, that's how you're going to have victory over these things. That's what he's telling us. So we either obey Colossians 3:8 or we don't. We either put it all aside or we don't. We either stop lying to each other, but we don't. But we're not alone. Again, don't fall on one side or the other of this balanced life. You know? Don't say, well, the Christian walk now that I'm saved, is a bunch of stuff I do. That's a trap. We do that, we totally ignore the fact that we can only do anything because of what God pours into us every day. So don't fall into that trap. On the other hand, don't fall to the other side, which says, well, I guess this is totally God's work. Doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter what I decide. That's wrong, too. You see? Even though it's his workmanship, it's our walk. We participate. Sometimes just by, if you look at the commands that we've seen already, what are we told to do first and foremost? Set our minds on the things above. But that's a command. We either do that or we don't. Consider your body as dead. We either do that or we don't. So we're still in this. That's what I mean by the balance. But we're not alone. The basis. We have laid aside the old man on the basis of the cross. We have put on the new. That new is being renewed to true knowledge. Knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ. The image of the one who created him. We stop. Why do we stop lying to each other? I know we tell our kids. You better stop lying because you're going to get in trouble. Is that what Jesus says there through the Word of God? Nope. You better stop lying because bad things are going to happen to you if you keep lying. Now, we say that, but is that what Jesus is saying here? No, he's saying this. He's saying we stop lying to one another on the basis of the facts that we have laid aside our old man with his evil deeds. That's a fact. All right? Romans 6. Laid aside the old man. That's real. That has happened. On the basis of that fact that we now know, that's how we stop lying. On the basis of the fact that we have put on the new man, that's how we stop lying. And then the new us, what happens? Well, that new us is being renewed. Daily activity, according to God's word, to the true knowledge, according to the image of Christ who dwells in us. That's how we stop lying. We realize who we are, and we realize that when we take in more information about who Christ is, that enables us to stop living the old life. That's simple. The teaching is the difference maker. When the new us learns about who the new us really is in Christ, then we're able to stop lying. And again, you either believe this or you don't. You either believe that God wins and he's more powerful, and that what he's done in you is more powerful than the flesh or anything that the world has in its offerings. You either believe that or you don't. But when you believe that, now you all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, I'm going in that direction. I know the direction of more Christ, in terms of my knowledge of him, is the difference maker. More teaching about who Christ is and about who I'm being made to be is the difference maker. Okay, rather than thinking, I'm going to turn here and I'm going to battle the old myself, which you're going to lose, and God knows it. He's brought the Spirit in to do battle against the flesh, to free you up, to go in the other direction and find out more about who you are. Find out more about who Christ is and run in that direction. Walk in that direction. And so we should, you know, and not get that sense that, oh, I don't know if it's going to work. You don't? You don't know who wrote this? You don't know what he did for you? You don't know what the cross is? You don't know that Jesus died for all that stuff? And if you could do it, he wouldn't have to? And he's given you this new life? It's never been able to be lived by anybody until Jesus went to heaven and sent the Spirit down and gave us the letters of the New Testament? That matters. Get on with it. Get in there and live that way. That's what he's saying. Have some guts. Don't continue to listen to the lies over there about how it's supposed to work. It's not. Just stick your nose in the New Testament letters, okay, and find out what it tells you about how it's supposed to be. And stay there. Stay there. All right. Teaching about Christ in us enables us to put aside anger. But do you believe that? Next time anger rises, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, okay, I'm just going to stop getting angry, or, well, you know, I have a good reason to be angry, or maybe if I just take the right pill, I won't be angry? Or are you going to say, no, wait a minute, it's teaching about Christ that'll stop the anger. Believe me, when you just take a look at who he is and what he did for you for about a minute, you know, you're going to be able to stop being angry. That's what this is saying. You have the ability. The slander, the abusive speech. That's how you do it. Now, how does this all work? How does he take the teaching about Christ and the new us and put it to work? It's real simple. It's called substitution. This is what the Holy Spirit's at work doing. And what we're doing today is a big part of that. He's just, when we learn things from the New Testament letters, he takes them and he substitutes the new and gets rid of the old thought. So the old thought was feel guilty. The Holy Spirit says, no, that doesn't work. The new thought is, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm going to learn more about Christ and keep my eyes on him. And he takes that new thought and he gets rid of the old one, puts the new one in there. Substitution. He does this. He substitutes new attitudes. This is real work that's going on inside us, by the way. And our contribution, the big one, well, there's two. One is the first one is to get the Word of God in our hearts. And the second one is to believe it. That's our contribution. And then he's doing this. He is substituting attitudes and behaviors of Christ for the attitudes and behaviors of Adam. That's the Holy Spirit doing. How does he transform us into the image and likeness of Christ? He puts in new attitudes and behaviors, substituting for the old ones. All right? New attitudes and behaviors. He says, you know what? I'm going to substitute the new man for the old. He does this. He says, I'm going to have prompts in your life. The Holy Spirit is prompting you, by the way, all the time. Do you know that? Have you started to say, well, I really want to pay attention to that? And it's not weird stuff. Holy Spirit speaks Bible. And to the Christian, the Holy Spirit primarily speaks the words of the letters in the New Testament. That's how he speaks to us. But he does. He has promptings. But at the same time, the flesh is still in us, and it has promptings. You know, I know people make fun of the whole idea of the devil on one side and the angel on the other, you know, and that is a little weird. Or like when I was a kid, we used to have Mad Magazine. Any of you remember that? And they used to have Spy versus Spy, you know, like that. But it sort of is like that. I mean, we really do have inside of us, you know, the flesh and the spirit. And both of them have a mind. And both of them are prompting. And that's just the way it is. That's hello. That's being a Christian now till the day we die. So we substitute the promptings of the spirit for the promptings of the flesh. You get a tug of your flesh, and you should immediately turn the other direction. Say, all right, I know that. I've been dealing with that tug since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. What do you got for me now, spirit? What's your pull in this situation? Where are you taking me? You see it? But it's real. You know, this isn't optional. This isn't a nice thing to do if you have extra Christian time. This is the calling for us in our everyday life. To turn to the Spirit and say, what do you have for me? Especially when we're being hammered by the flesh, which we all will be. This is going to happen. Substitute identity. Why do you think I keep telling you about those 50 truths about who you are now that you're a Christian? Because that's power. It's power. When you realize that God says, look, you know what? You're going through a situation of suffering, but I promise, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself step in and strengthen, perfect, confirm, and establish you. You can hang in there a little longer. That's not just a nice thing to have, or a bumper sticker, or show off how much you know about what it means to be a Christian. That's power. That's daily living. Right? When the flesh wants to put you down and put you in a place of slavery because you know that that place that you go to, a place of addiction, a place of whatever it is, you know that it is there to enslave you as soon as you're born, but you don't know what to do about it. Here's what you do about it. You realize that God has made you his son and his daughter, and you change your identity. You have changed it. You just don't know it yet. You keep saying to yourself, you know, I got a lot of garbage in my head. I got a lot of lies in my head still. I still do. I've been, you know, preaching and teaching and learning and living the Word of God for a while now. I still have a lot of lies. The Spirit is going to keep digging deeper to show the lies of the flesh, lies of the world, lies of the evil one, and give us the power to say, no more. No, I'm going to go once again to my identity as a child of God, the love that He has for me, the promises He's made, the fact that He has never let me down. His character, not mine, certainly not the world's. And so we substitute our identity as a son or a daughter for the old self-image as a slave. But we do these things. You know, this means an active spiritual life. It's active. It's going on, and we want to be a part of it. We want to take in the Word of God. We want to believe those things. We want to sort of hang in there and persevere, holding on to a bare word of the Lord in the temptations of life. We want to put on that helmet of salvation. We put it on in Ephesians 6. You know, the weapons of our warfare, the armor, the things we teach little kids, and they make these great diagrams and the old medieval knights and all that stuff. Well, that's great, but how about using it now? Okay, we know it. We can recite it. We can draw the picture. But do you realize that what we're told basically is, look, you know what? You have the breastplate of righteousness because you've been declared righteous by God. All right? Hopefully you've been putting on the belt of truth. You've been learning the truth about God's word. Hopefully you can communicate the gospel and you know the truth of the good news. And that's the starting point. And then when you're in the battle against whatever it is you're battling, then you put on three things. You put on the helmet of salvation. You realize that you're eternally secure and that this is just the life where you're going forward and being delivered again and again and again, and you're protecting your head with the truth about who you are. And then you go on there, and then you put up the shield of what? Faith. Meaning what? It's time for me to really call on that which I believe and live in it right now. I need to believe and trust that God is greater than Satan right now. I need to believe and trust that I'm his child. I'm going to believe that. It says that we can do what? We can all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I don't know about you, but I don't know the last time I was actually hit by a literal flaming arrow by Satan. What is it? You know what it is? It's thoughts and lies is what it is. All right? Faith gets rid of them all. And then finally, you pick up a sword. What's the sword? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Notice the Spirit and the Word together. We pick that up, but we pick it up. This is the thing I think that's missing a lot. We pick up the sword. How do you do that? What's the sword? This is real simple. What's the sword? Yeah, it's the Bible. Pick it up. Pick it up and find out what it has for you. And by the way, you're going to get help. Whose sword is it? This is what I mean about balance, right? We do it, he does it, his workmanship, our work. It's the sword of the Spirit. He'll get you where you need to go. He's like, we're like these Jedi Knights in training, and he's like Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know? I don't know if I have that right. I'm barely literate in Star Wars, the terminology. But that's the theme for the vacation Bible study, so I better get up on that. But yeah, he'll help you. He's helping you all the time. Anytime you go to the Word of God or you hear a message, right, the Holy Spirit's like, put that where he's going to need it, where she's going to need it. And then when the evil day comes, he's like, remember, you know what you're facing right now. I'm going to show you exactly what you need. Right now you need to understand that you're to take a thought captive. Right now you need to understand that you better realize that you're eternally secure. Or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will lead you there. But once he does, you know, don't be lazy. I'm lazy. I like to think, well, he's just going to give me what I need and blah, blah, blah. But I've lately, you know what I've done lately? I've picked up my Bible. As soon as he said, this is a day for Ephesians 6, I go there. And I read it again and I refresh it. And I know there's something else there for me. Because I just don't want to exist. I want to thrive. I want to be what he says in Romans 5. All right? I want to reign in life. I don't just want to get through by the seat of my pants. And that takes becoming a master in the sword. And that's what we're here to do. So we do these things, and yet God does them too. Please turn to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We do them, and God does them too. And in closing today, I want to show you a few of these things. We see them throughout the New Testament letters. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is where the title of today's message comes from. Ephesians 2:10. Right out now, I know everybody knows Ephesians. Well, I don't know everybody, but very popular passage, Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace we're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some Christians just want to stay there. Oh, great, I don't have to do any works. Psst, what? You know, Ephesians is actually 6 chapters. And it goes on after verse 9 of chapter 2. Maybe we should see what that's talking about. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to sit around and hope the rapture comes tomorrow. The end of the book of Ephesians. Nope. We were created in Christ Jesus at the moment we believed in Christ for good, say it with me, for good works. For what? Good works. That's right. That's why there's going to be a Bema Seat judgment for us. We're going to get up there and the Lord's going to say, do you remember Ephesians 2:10? I told you that you were given all these things for good works. Let's see how you did there, Johnny boy. Because it says, for deeds done in the body, whether good or bad, that's what we're going to be judged by. Not our knowledge of doctrine. No. The Bible says, to Christians now, that we will be before the Lord and we will be judged according to the deeds we've done in our body, whether good or bad. Which means deeds are like the deal right now. Right? So works. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Balance. Grace. His workmanship. You know, a lot of people, when they go one way or the other, they get all afraid of the judgment seat, and all of a sudden they got to go out and do all kinds of stuff, and they got to figure it out. Wrong. No. What's the first part? We are what? His workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good deeds, but what's the next part? Which God prepared beforehand. He's got you. You know? I don't know why, but I have this image in my head when I read this passage. That we're his workmanship, we're created now with all of the things he's given us for good works. But God prepared them all beforehand, and well, what do? We walk in that which God has prepared. We don't frantically think we've got to prepare them. We just walk in what God has prepared. And that's how it works, you know? It's every day, you just give yourself to God as alive from the dead, and then he lets you, shows you, here's where I want you to walk today. Here's what I want you to call this person today. I want you to spend this time in the Word. I want you to console that one. I want you to just, this might be something. Go and take a risk in this area. See what happens. Little things at a time. That's what walking is, you know. If he wanted us to just go out there and take the world by storm and do it all ourselves, he would say, you're on your own now, And you better run like crazy all the time by yourself. As a matter of fact, you better jump, you better leap, you better be like Superman. But he doesn't say that. What does he say? That we would walk in them. Walking is one step at a time. So don't get crazy, but realize that this is a life that he's calling us to do. And I don't know why I have this image when I was reading this time of models on a runway. What do? They just walk. They get paid billions and gazillions of dollars for walking. Am I wrong about this? Am I missing something? I mean, they didn't build the walkway, did they? You see all these supermodels with a hammer and saw? No. They didn't even design the clothes. They didn't. Somebody else does all of that for them. Somebody else made the clothes. Somebody else figured out what their size was. Somebody else probably put it on them and did their makeup and everything. And then at a certain point in time, somebody says, now walk. And that's what they do. And everyone's, oh, yeah, wow, that's great. I don't know why that popped into my head, but that's really kind of like the way it is for us. God does it all. He just says, now go walk. Go walk. That's what it is. The way we live our life, you know, he's done it all. He's designed everything, all the clothes. Now, the only difference is we came with our own clothes, old man's clothes, you know, and the first thing we got to do is put those aside, get those old man clothes off you, right? And we have to get renewed in our spiritual mind. See, we have more to do than the supermodel. You see, we have to learn these things about who Christ is and our identity. And then we put him on. We put on the life, the clothing that God has given us, Christ. And then we go walk. Christ is our adornment, if you want to think of it that way. All right. Let me just do a couple more of these and we'll close. We've got that one. His workmanship and our work. Philippians 2. We're not going to go there, but you can check it out later. Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says that God is at work in me as I work out my salvation. You see it? See the balance in that? God's at work in me as I work out my salvation. Who's doing it? We both are, right? Please turn to Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 17. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. Ooh, I want to get to one. I can't get to it. That's all right. You guys still getting something out of this subject? All right, because I got more. You know, I don't want to spend the rest of my, you know, I know how I get sometimes. I understand, like, oh, not again. But if you're getting something out of it, we'll come back to this, because there's a lot more I can show you, too. All right, so Galatians 5, 16 to 17. But I say, and think of the Lord speaking to you, you know, that's really what it is. I say, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You see that? By the way, this is saying, if you run north, the stuff in the south can't get to you. Does that make sense? You know, the south, the flesh, and all it's trying to do to you every day. What we tend to do, naturally, is to turn around and try to deal with it. You know, how are you going to turn around and deal with a roaring lion? What are you going to do? Shh, stop, little kitty, shh. It's not going to work. No, go in the other direction. Right? Walk by means of the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. Spirit will take care of what's behind you. The Spirit against the flesh, these are in opposition to each other. Again, notice you're not there. It's the Spirit in opposition to the flesh. The flesh in opposition to the Spirit. You're not in that battle. All right? I have to keep saying this because we always put ourselves in that battle and we lose. It's the Spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. These are in opposition to each other so that you, here's where we are, you may not do the things that you please. Now, the old lust of the flesh, the Spirit's putting them at bay. But notice, I can walk by means of the Spirit. I can walk, it's me walking, but only because the Spirit wars against the flesh. There it is again. He's doing what he needs to do in order to clear the space for me to simply walk. This means by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, not by means of the flesh. You know? And the flesh is everything about us before we came to Christ. It's everything that the unbeliever is using to try to get through life. So-called good things as well as bad. You have a bad habit. You want to stop it. Easy to identify the bad habit with the flesh. But then how do we go about not carrying out that desire of the flesh? And again, we usually just substitute another desire of the flesh. Right? Well, you know, I kind of come up with all the reasons why I shouldn't do it. All the reasons in my life where I'll be better off if I don't do that. That's just my flesh. That's not, the Spirit's nowhere to be found. That's not going to work. That's still the flesh acting. Who's supposed to act here in Galatians 5, 16 to 17? The Spirit. He's real. He's alive. What we need to do is to turn to the Spirit and rely on Him to give us all the reasons. And He's going to give us reasons. He's going to give us things like love and joy and peace. That's what He's going to do. He's going to lead us on according to His fruit that He's producing in us. Maybe the reason that you should stop doing it is love. Or maybe it's joy. You ever stop for a minute? And I'll have to close here. But I want you to do this. I want you, the next time you're really burdened by a lust of the flesh in some way, tempted by it, I want you to just stop for a minute. And I want you to just ask yourself a question. I want you to go and look at the love of God. All right, or the joy. Or peace, the peace that surpasses understanding. You take your pick. Because those are the first three fruit of the Spirit. Just take one of those, all right, and ask yourself a simple question. What really feels better? Me satisfying this urge or God's love for me? Me satisfying this urge or the joy of knowing that I have salvation and I'm going to be with Him forever? Me satisfying this urge or the peace that surpasses understanding? What's really better? I'm telling you, I know it's better. This blows that away. The problem is, you see, that our enemies never want us to take a look at that. That's why it's the knowledge, the true knowledge about who Christ is that gets us to stop that. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you again this morning for allowing us to put ourselves in a place where we can hear your word and have it take on its life and its power for us. We know this all leads us forward in the direction of being conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we really are just excited to find out what tomorrow will bring in terms of those changes that the Spirit is making inside of us. And we just know that your calling for us is to set our mind on the right things and to take in the Word of God and learn it and believe it and then apply it in our lives. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. All right, just a couple of reminders as we leave together. Tomorrow night, young Christians, we're getting together again. Maybe this week we'll actually let Dane Robert finish the book of Romans. I've been on that for about 6 weeks. Must be something about that book. I don't know. Also, next time we get together, everybody, is this Thursday informal Bible study starting at 7 o'clock. Expect the next blog out on Wednesday. You guys, anybody read it this week? Okay, I'm just checking. Anybody offended? We can talk later. See, I just say stuff like that so other people will read it, right? So. What else? That's pretty much it. Let's also, as we leave today, because we're going out into the world, make sure we know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's really straightforward, gang, okay? We're born sinners, every one of us. God did something about it. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die as our substitute at the cross. He died for our sins and sin itself. And then He was buried, and then 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead to a new life. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ, who is God and man, He's the Son of God, God in the flesh. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life and is declared perfectly righteous forever by God the Father. Whoever believes, period, that's it. Well, our job as ambassadors for Christ is to beg them to be reconciled to God by telling them good news and asking them to believe it. That's it, not to do a thing, not to commit their life, not to be baptized, to just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's our mission. I'd say it's a mission impossible, but it's very possible. So don't forget the gospel of Jesus Christ. Realize it, the simplicity and the power of it. Okay, God the Holy Spirit is there with us whenever we're communicating the good news. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you this morning, again, for bringing us all together. Thank you for preparing us with the belt of truth and the gospel. Our feet prepared with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we have the breastplate of righteousness because you've declared us to be righteous forever. Help us when we need it in our daily lives, Father, to put on those other pieces of armament, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed to enjoy this beautiful day.
my wrestling, in my doubts, in my faith.